just yesterday morning.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to focus on an interview when you hit me with James. You gotta warn me when you hit me with James.
Okay, just hold on a second.
No, don't take it down. It's perfect.
I'm not taking it down.
Okay. We are streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're on joyradio.ca and across the GTA on AM 1250. We're coming to the end of season 13 of our show, and then season 14 is going to start a little differently. We're going to start with 20 pre-recorded shows.
Wow.
From the beginning of August to the end of, middle to the end of December.
Wow.
And Tim will have his life back on Saturdays. What are you going to do Saturdays?
I have no idea.
You could join like a bowling league.
You know what? I'm probably not going to tell my wife because she's going to get that honey-do list I've been avoiding for the last
couple
of years.
You could just go out and do whatever you want every afternoon.
Yeah, I got to go to Drew's show.
Well, on our show, as I mentioned earlier, every once in a while, we like to do these things called journey segments. It's kind of, you know, the esoteric way of describing basically someone coming in and spilling their guts. And when I was growing up, the only stories I ever saw up on stage at church, when I used to go to church, were the glory stories. I used to be an axe murderer, then I found Jesus, now I don't kill people with axes anymore.
And what do you use instead?
And I was more interested
in the Lord, the sword of the Spirit. No more axes.
I use the sword of the Spirit. And now I find myself very intrigued with people whose lives are still actually complicated and messy. You know why? Because mine has always been that way. And I've never understood those people that got up on stage and went, "Ah, blessed be Jesus."
Were they only Irish when they got saved? Or that was part of the affliction of being saved?
Anyway.
I used to be from Brooklyn, but now I'm saved.
What is wrong with you? Every once in a while, Tim gets excited that there's a microphone in the building.
Sorry.
So we have two back-to-back stories. We heard one earlier. Vito was in studio playing guitar, and here's a guy who's recovering from brain injury when he was hit from behind for the guy who's like driving, what was it,
110?
So there's a tough thing to recover from. And after this interview, we are going to check in with Michelle. Her and her wife lost their child to a brain tumor not too long ago. And man, how do you recover from that? What do you do spiritually about that? So anyway, right now, Jen is in the studio. And Jen, I'm going to read to you the bio that you and I worked on. Just get it all right out there, so to speak. Jen was sexually abused by her brother when she was a young child. And then in her 20s, she experienced further abuse by a fiancé. And that was it for her. She no longer looked for love from men. Within a couple of months, she had met a woman who treated her the way she'd always hoped to be treated. Then after 20 years of identifying as a lesbian, Jen eventually dated, then married a male friend who'd once said to her, "You know, if you weren't a lesbian, I'd ask you out." That's one of my favoritest lines ever.
That's awesome.
I'm going to try that. "Hey, you know, if you weren't a lesbian, I'd..."
You should check before, though, about their identity.
You know what? The fun thing
otherwise, it just doesn't work the same way.
No. The fun thing is, I know Jen well enough to know that nothing's off limits here. So some of you may be listening going, "Boy, you're being a really insensitive jerk, Drew. You haven't met Jen yet. Anyway, throughout her life, Jen has never walked away from her faith. And, of course, here's the angle that ties in with this show. There was a long period of time where she sort of put her faith on hold because, of course, she felt hypocritical living a life that was contrary to what she'd been taught in the evangelical Christian world. But this isn't a lesbian story. This isn't a heterosexual story. I guess it's the story of a bi woman who still loves God and is married to a man. Jen, I checked with you about that bio, and you said that was okay. You want to change your mind?
Because that would be
a
good time,
could
yeah.
How do you feel about that? Well, as I read that again to you, what spins around in your head?
What spins around in my head?
Is it true?
It's all true. Yes, it's all true. I don't know that all of the preamble is necessary. I don't know that I would... say that it made me who I am. So I thought about that later, and I was like, well, it's out there, and it is what it is.
Do I hear you saying that's not the end chapter? Like, the end chapter is not now. I'm not quite sure about a whole lot of things in my life. So that makes it sound kind of, ta-da, that's who I am.
No, I think ta-da, that is who I am. But I don't think that was necessarily that what made me who I am. Like, I don't...
Keep going.
Oh. I don't necessarily believe that because I was sexually abused as a child or because a man was abusive to me, that that is what made me who I am. I don't.
So, in other words, well, we, you know, especially in the God community, they would hear your story, and some people would go, oh, that's why she's gay.
Right.
Oh, she was abused by men and brother. Okay, well, that's why she's gay.
Right, which I don't know that that's the answer. I think that I am who I am, and I think I would be who I am outside of those issues. I don't know, because I have lived with that, so I don't actually know, but I don't...
Wait, I'm assuming something. There's a presupposition here that I need to clear up. Are you still friends with those in the lesbian scene? I don't know, even if, no, if you were in, you know, I don't think you were out in the Pride Parade or anything.
No.
But I'm sure you have friends that were lesbians, and do you still hang out with them even though you don't identify as a lesbian anymore? Or did you lose friendships when you stopped lesbianism? Did I even say that right?
Yeah, stopped lesbianism.
Jeez.
Drew's starting his sensitivity training next week.
I might have, like, a lot of people thought I abandoned ship, and they thought, you
that's
know,
what I'm getting
shame
at.
On you,
yeah.
You abandoned ship.
Had the people say that to you?
Yeah, pretty much. How do you, yeah, like, you, what did you do? You just went and jumped ship on us here. I was like, what are you doing? Going playing for the other side now. I don't know. I mean, any of my friends that were my real friends, they don't care one way or the other. We still talk and we still, you know, hang out a bit. But my life is different now that I'm not in the lesbian community. I'm like, my husband and I aren't hanging out with a bunch of my ex-lesbian friends because it's just not how it's played out.
If you were to hang out with some of your ex-lesbian friends, would your husband feel weird about that, do you think?
No, actually, because I do still have, you know, I still have friends that I have a friend that works with me from time to time, and no, I don't think he has any issues. I really don't believe he has any issues with any of that. It's because it's not an issue. It is. Mm-hmm. It should have no bearing on anything, really.
The abuse that you endured at the hands of your brother, can we give people a little context there? Because I mean, is your brother still in your life? How does he feel about this? How does he feel about you?
Okay. No, my brother is not in my life. He's a sociopath that I really would rather have nothing to do with. I'm okay. Like, I've forgiven him for, you know, damage done. There's because it doesn't do me any good to harbor it.
You made that sound so easy.
Well,
was it easy to forgive him?
Was it easy to forgive him? I think once I owned it and you know, recognized that's what happened to me, and I am who I am because of it. Yeah, I think it was fairly easy to forgive him. You know, I accept that he's a sociopath. He doesn't have a conscience. He did things.
So if he wasn't a sociopath, it'd be a different story.
Maybe.
But he is, so it is.
I guess. Yeah, I guess he is, so it is. Yeah, I mean.
When you were engaged and you were abused by your fiancé, mm-hmm. There must have been something inside of you that said, really, again? Like, I'm getting, like, first of all, was it, I'm assuming it was physical abuse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it was, yeah.
So a lot of people, when they're abused even just once, sometimes blame themselves. But then when it happens in two different relationships, they certainly really look at themselves. And then if it continues, they just feel like they're walking around like a mark. Did you put any blame on yourself? What is wrong with me that I end up in this relationship?
Yeah, I kind of thought that I might have been a bit of a jerk magnet. Like, I thought I was putting something out there that was attracting people that weren't being kind to me, like a doormat-ish kind of. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I eventually recognized that it's not me. And
How did you get to that point?
I don't really even know how I got to that point. I just knew that I was not going to take the abuse anymore. There came a time when he was beating on me, and I was being smothered with a pillow, and I thought, I'm going to die right now. So I managed to get some excellent strength and fought back, and that was the last time that I was abused, and I walked away from that relationship shortly after that. Came home and back to Ontario and never went back. So I don't know. I don't know what, it was the fear of I was going to lose my life over this that mm-hmm. made me say, I've got to stop this, and I've got to stop this now. So I don't.
You know, you and I joke around a lot, but I want to just not joke around and say, yay you. I'm not sure. Again, I don't think I worded that quite the way I wanted to, but...
Yay me! Yeah.
Seriously, because how many stories do we hear of women who stay in that stuff?
Well, you know, it wasn't the first time I was abused in that relationship. It was, you know, countless times, and it wasn't until I got to that point. And, you're made to feel as though you deserved this, and no one's going to love you as much as this person's going to love you. And whenever they finish the abuse, they're always very, very sorry. And it's never going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And so you want to believe that. So you keep going back into it and thinking it's going to... And I don't know. Maybe had he never got to the point where I thought I was going to die, I could still be there.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Who knows?
How long after that relationship ended did you... I'm struggling with my words here. Did you decide to try women?
Okay, so... Again, I don't know that it was really a conscious decision. It wasn't like a light switch went on or anything.
Right. I'm gay.
Right.
You know, you didn't.
Right. It didn't even happen like that. It was I left a relationship that was abusive and I was unhappy and I just wanted out. And then I met somebody that just started treating me really kind and then the relationship blossomed into a relationship.
Right.
If
it had been a guy who you found who treated you really kind.
It could have happened that way. It could have happened that way, but it didn't.
Yeah.
So when I was with this woman for 12 years, in the first couple of years, she spent a lot of time trying to convince me, you know, you are a lesbian, right? You know that you are a lesbian. And I was like, okay, if that's what I am. But I was always like, why did I have to be put in a box? Why did I have to be labeled as something? But so I owned it. I lived it for 20 years. And you know, I wasn't really getting much out of the relationships that I was in.
Why do you think that is? Or was?
Barking up the wrong tree? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why. I was giving everything of myself and really getting nothing back, and I was just getting spent, and so I thought in the last relationship I was with a woman, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't. I thought this was the answer for me, but I'm not finding happiness in this. This isn't working for me. And then I met my husband, who.
I love that line.
Who said to me, you know, it's really too bad that you're a lesbian. I would so date you. And I was like, well, that's food for thought. You know, let me know if things aren't working out for you. Maybe I was like, oh, yeah, I'll keep you in mind there, buddy. You'll be the first one I call. And so I did.
So interesting. You know, then this is why one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is because, you know, your story is not one that fits into too many boxes nicely. Remember that game we had when we were a kid, and it had two yellow handles. It was a ball with yellow handles you pull apart, and you try to fit shapes into the holes, into the middle.
Remember that thing? Yes, I do.
And you're like a broken one of those.
Oh, I'm broken.
Oh, I'm not good with the words today at all.
See, I've known Jen a little bit too, and any time that I've known her, she's never fit into any box.
Does it?
Box
because I'm little.
No, but I mean in the utmost respect. Like, that's one of the things I really liked about you is you just like you were you,
yeah,
and it didn't matter what anybody else was like. You were you.
Your relationship with the faith community has been really interesting over the years, and you grew. Did you grow up with the church stuff and the Jesus stuff? And the
I went to Sunday school, and then I became a born again at 14.
Right.
And then went into the Christian ministry when I was 18. And actually, that's where my first relationship was with a woman, was in the Christian ministry.
Right.
And you know, I just and you know, you just get thinking about it.
Well, and that was at a time where there was no discussion about whether you could be a Christian and be gay.
Oh yeah, there was no. Yeah,
I mean, there wasn't a discussion.
Wrong. Wrong. There's just no two ways about it. This is like, this can't be happening. This shouldn't be happening. In fact, when I split up with my fiance and met this woman, and things were starting to progress, I was like, oh no, here we go. Because I was thinking, I'm going to a place where I shouldn't be going. But after living the life for that long, I'm like, well, this is who I am, and this is how I was created. And I can't imagine a loving God is going to send me to hell because I want to be in a loving relationship with somebody, male or female. That's how I reconciled things with my faith.
Did you hide it under a bushel? No. did you hide your faith stuff? What did you do with God? I mean, because when anybody, it goes all the way back to when Moses came down out of the mountains. Listen to me. This is the second time I've gotten all scripture-y today.
Ooh, yes.
Maybe even the third time.
Yes.
Don't tell anybody.
You're
okay?
Divining.
Shut up. Moses comes down out of the mountain after being, you know, MIA, carving out the Ten Commandments, like we saw in the Mel Brooks movie.
There are 15. Oh,
Ten Commandments. So he comes back, and all his people are, he looks down, and he hears, he basically hears that it's corruption down there. You know, they're having sex with anything that moves, they're worshiping golden calves, they're getting drunk, and then all of a sudden he comes down to the mountain, and they freak out, and they go, uh-oh. Wow, turns out there really is a God. And they say to Moses, hey, will you do me a favor? Can you talk to God on our behalf? Because we're too ashamed to talk to God. And Moses says, no, let your sin cause you to go to him, not away from him. That's not the kind of God he is. How do you relate to that story with your story?
I think for the first little while, when I made the choice to be in a relationship, that I believed was not God's will, I felt like hypocritical, even maybe ashamed to go and talk to God. And the more I lived life, I realized I shouldn't be separated from God. And I thought it was more the devil working by making me think that I couldn't come to God, or he couldn't have a place in my life because of my lifestyle. But at the same time, I wasn't going to be going to church, and I wasn't going to be preaching, because
that, who are you to preach?
Who am I to tell somebody how to live their life when I'm not living what the Christian life is supposed to be?
Why didn't you just chuck God right out?
Because I love God.
How do you know that?
Well, I felt a piece of me missing. There was something missing when I wasn't in communication with God. There was just something that I needed that communication back. And I was the only one cutting myself off from that communication by feeling inadequate. And I don't now believe that was right. That was the devil working his wily ways to keep me away from God.
So you think there's a devil?
Yeah.
Are you saying that as sort of a, like in a,
yeah, no, I guess so, yeah,
allegorical way? Or do you think there's a real a spiritual being that's the enemy of God?
Yeah, I believe there's a spiritual being that's the enemy of God.
Huh. You have a Bible verse for that one too, Drew?
Come on, wrap it out there, buddy. Come on. Don't let us down.
I think it's a timeless scenario where we all of us who are spiritual beings and have at any time looked up to the sky and yearned for something more, or some partnership or relationship with the creator of the world. And then we look at the mirror and we go, dude, you are messed up. Stop looking up. You need to be looking down. I think we've all done that and been there. So how do you recover from that? Do you, you know, I'm trying to do the math on this, and, you know, the ultra-right-wing conservative fundamentalists would say, stop saying, stop it. They get all Bob Newhart.
Yes.
Stop it. But it's not. You know, the older you get, you realize it's just not, And then do we rationalize and justify, and we go, well, actually, that's not what the scripture really means. And then is that true,
yes,
or is it not true? And we can find theologians to back up any angle. But the bottom line is, you're walking around with your head down instead of facing up.
Right.
And that's not cool.
Right.
So what did you do? Did you finally go, oh, okay, I'll marry a guy, and then I can get in tight with God again?
No, because I mean, it certainly got me in a little tighter with my family.
Yeah, right.
I stopped praying when I first, you know, got into the relationship with a woman that I was, you know, like, whereas that I, to the fact that I was going to own it, that that's who I am, and I'm not going to hide, and I'm not going to pretend to have a boyfriend, and I'm not going to, you know, cover any of this up, and I am who I am. And for a little while, I just stayed completely away from God. I didn't talk to God. And then I realized I was missing something, and I decided I have to just lay myself before the Lord and say, here I am, and this is who I am, and I'm going to talk to you anyway, and I hope you hear me. So do I? I don't know that I, now that I've married a man, do I think that I'm, that he's hearing me any better? No, I don't. Like I said, I'm making better waves in my family for it, but otherwise I don't feel any closer to God now that I've married a man than I did when I was with a woman. Except that I do feel if I were to profess my Christianity, I wouldn't be being setting myself up for a fall or setting someone else up for a fall by you know, being something and living one way. And
are you bi?
I
mean, like, here we go with the definitions again, right? And I can see right away that doesn't set with. It's like, you know, I'm the 12-year girlfriend relationship thing that you had, where she was like, you know, you're lesbian, right? You know, you're lesbian.
So now
I'm using a different word. You know, if you've been with a woman, you've been with a guy, and you've been with a woman, you've been with a guy, I guess you're bi. So are you bi? Are you bi? Are you bi? I want to know if you're bi.
I would imagine I am. I mean, I don't know how else to say. I imagine I am. I'm with a man now.
Mm-hmm.
I was with women for 20 years. I'm not like repelled by the fact that I was with women for 20 years. It doesn't turn my stomach. I don't like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm not there. I don't feel that way at all. I feel I've met somebody now that I adore. He's fabulous. I've married him and I'm going to be with him forever. But like,
do you think that being bi is the new pariah? Almost in the way that the transgendered debate is raging around the world these days, or at least here in North America. You know, the two-trick pony for the Jesus scene used to be abortion and gays, abortion and gays, abortion and gays. And now we seem to be lightening up a little bit on the gay. I've said this on the show numerous times, and I think I've received some hate mail for it. I'm nowhere near as wound up about the gay stuff as I used to be. And
nope.
I get asked all the time when I'm interviewed on other shows. They want to say to the God guy, oh, what do you think of gay? You know, what do you think of homosexuality? And that's like they're going to trap me with some question or whatever. And my answer to them is, I honestly have no idea. For a couple of reasons. One, there are theologians on all sides of this argument that know way more stuff than I will ever know. Number two, I'm not gay, so I don't know what it's like to be gay. And if I was gay, I could give you maybe a better answer about how I feel about being gay. But I can only tell you what I feel like about being a heterosexual. So that leads me to number three, which is, since I don't have this figured out, my opinion doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. What was that from?
Meatballs.
Oh, thank you. Tim and I quote movies all day
yes.
long.
And if you do.
Geez, where the heck was I in that line
you
of...
You were professing the fact that you just don't really care about the gay issue anymore. It just
right.
doesn't
oh,
rattle
the pariah,
you anymore.
The pariah thing. So the gay stuff used to be the big thing. Now it's transgendered. And then, wow, let's go into the churches and talk about bi. Whoa, what do we do with that?
Yeah, what do you do with that? I'll tell you, when I was living a lesbian lifestyle and being, you know, thoroughly convinced and hammered, you know you are a lesbian, and I was actually... I was offended by bisexuals. I thought, you know what? If you're going to be able to make
pick.
A choice, pick, man. And if you can make a choice, then make the right choice here. Like, really?
Yeah.
So for me to say that I'm bi and I actually made those choices, yeah. You know, I'm a hypocrite there, because I really had my issues with the bi. I was like, come on, seriously, pick this. And then when I read my bio that you have, like, oh my gosh, I am the epitome of what I was so down on as a lesbian, was this, come on, like, pick. Like, and as a Christian, if I really have a choice, if I'm a bi and I can, come on, like, who am I going to choose? I'm going to choose a man, because that's just way easier.
Yeah, you work your way through scriptures a lot easier if you just choose men.
Oh my gosh, right? So I'm not sure that I've actually answered anything there, but...
No, but that's not the point of this, as we...
And Christians are just jealous.
Why?
You get to play both sides.
Right?
I only get one. Choose Pepsi or Coke. Come on.
Pepsi or Coke.
I'm going to have a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Just because I can.
I think we call that swamp water.
Yes, we did.
Mix all the pop together.
Oh, you got to have root beer.
Yeah, orange. Root beer and orange is a key.
Yeah, you need it all.
Right. How do you respond then when... the Jesus people don't know how to take you? And has that happened? Have you ever come across somebody who's just gone, yeah, I don't know. What?
You're with? I'm not sure if it's because I'm bi, but I'm sure people do that to me for sure.
Right.
I don't know how to take you.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't really think, I haven't really, like, this is really the first time I'm kind of out there about the whole bi thing. When I was living
that's
a gay...
That's a heck of a way to be out there for the first time on radio.
When I was living a gay lifestyle, I just stayed away from the church, and I stayed away from Christian people that I knew.
Yeah.
And my relationship with God was just my relationship with God. It wasn't about, you know, getting together with friends and having a relationship like that. It was always just my relationship with God. I don't actually know. I haven't actually been, you know, had conversations with anybody other than really yourself about this.
Really?
Well, yeah, about this. Yeah.
Am I a jerk for being this asky?
No. I think that you're just you're curious, and inquiring minds want to know. So
inquiring minds want to know.
Nice. Well done.
See, the 80s called and what they're saying back. Okay. Look, I'm at the point now in life where I really don't give a holy grunt what you believe, but it upsets me when we believe so many lies about ourselves that it keeps our heads from looking up.
I agree.
And that's kind of my softy way of saying, I'm really sorry that for all of these years, the tribe that you were a part of, consciously or subconsciously, made you feel unwelcome.
Right. Well, it is. I mean, like my family, for instance, really, really hard on me about it. Like every opportunity my sister would get, she would make sure she let me know I'm an abomination to God and what am I doing? And I mean, it would just make me, you know, dig my heels in more and say, well, I am who I am, and this is not about, right. This is, you know, not for you to say.
So what if you are an abomination to God and your pride and stubbornness is just something that is something that would prohibit a soul from entering the kingdom of heaven? How does that sit with you?
Well, I mean, not well. It doesn't sit well at all. I mean, when my sister would have these conversations with me, I'd always go away feeling... again, unworthy, and I'd have to, you know, go back to say, you know what, this isn't about what you have to say to me, and this is between God and myself, and God's the one that's going to judge me later, not you, and I'd have to hang on to that, because for sure, I would, after a conversation like that for a long time, I would feel so unworthy, and it's wrong. I don't believe God wants us to feel that way. I don't think that he wants us to run away from him because of who we are.
What was it like living on the outside, looking in, peering in through the glass of the old faith scene that used to be part of?
What was it like? I tried to just stay away from it. I just stayed away from anybody that could make me feel unworthy or that I didn't have a right to go to God, so that I could have my relationship with God without being judged. So I just stayed away from anybody that would, you know, make me feel that way.
we do read a lot in the Bible about, well, the word judge is used when it comes to describing God. And some people have authority issues. As Jen and I look upwards. I mean, downwards. down. We look down. And, you know, if God is God, I guess he has the right to judge.
Right.
And based on our backgrounds, for those of us who have had authority issues, we would sort of predetermine that God would be maybe a little unfair with his judginess. You know, he would be judgy as opposed to being a judge. He wouldn't judge with grace.
And but I think he does judge with grace. So that's the right? He does. That's why the bottom line is, no matter what my sister or anybody in my family says, God's the final judge of this.
But does everybody get to go to heaven? Hey, there's got to be some people go to hell. What about Hitler? Right? Isn't that how the conversation goes,
Tim? You know, it's we've become the Pharisees that Jesus came to say, shut up, you've got it wrong.
Quote that scripture where Jesus says, shut up, you've got it wrong?
A brood of vipers gets pretty close.
Okay.
White and sepulchers. You know, I could go on here. I think the problem isn't necessarily with God. I think it's definitely with us. And it, as silly as it was the statement before that Christians are jealous, oh, you get to choose two things. I think that a lot of Christians get jealous because, like, oh, I could have been a sinner and gotten to heaven anyways. Like, I could have had fun. I could have done bad things. I think people genuinely feel like that. It's like, you know, the prodigal son's brother, mm-hmm. You know, he got so ticked because his brother got to go out and party. But he didn't realize that the father was like, dude, you and I we're good. Don't worry about it. I'm dealing with your younger brother right now. We're trying to make things right. And there should be a joy in us celebrating that things are better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that almost sounded smart for me.
Wow. There's a lot of depth in this show. We should play a disclaimer.
Yes.
You're listening to a horrible version of the Drew Marshall Show.
Anything smart didn't come from us.
It was accidental. See, I'm scared of grace. I don't think it's limitless. I think there's a limit to grace. In other words, when I think about my whatever relationship with God thing, because sometimes we've discussed this ad nauseum here on the show, I'm not even sure there is a God. So when I think about God, if there is a God and grace in God, I kind of go, I'm not going to ask you forgiveness for something 737 times because I look like an idiot. I feel like an idiot. And I think you are an idiot if you're going to keep forgiving me 700 whatever times.
But that's our problem.
Right.
I did not go to God begging for forgiveness for the way I'm living my life. It wasn't part of the equation. Yeah. It was not part of the equation. I wasn't, you know, supplicating myself like, oh dear, look, oh Lord, please, like, forgive me. Here I go again. It wasn't like that. As soon as I made the decision that I wasn't going to walk away from God, I was going to have God love me, and I was going to love God just as who I was.
Yeah.
Then and now.
What about another religion? Maybe you couldn't let it go because you grew up with it and that was the only thing you knew. Why didn't you buy into something else? I was going to say buy into Baha'i, but Baha'is aren't good with gays either, so.
There's no Baha'is and Baha'is?
There's no Baha'is and Baha'is. Nice, Tim.
Good job.
I need a t-shirt for that.
I'm getting back to that level that we should be.
Why didn't you jump ship? Like, not that ship, the other.
I did. I'm getting grief for it right now, dudes. I'm telling you. I jumped ship all right.
Believe in something else.
Well, because you're asking me to throw away my whole belief system. That's what I believe. I believed it before I...
But believe something that doesn't come down on you for...
Okay. So I did. I don't believe that God is sending gays and bis to hell. I don't believe it. So I did believe something different. I believe that there's been a misinterpretation about homosexuality in the Bible. Just like you said, you know, theologians could give you all sorts of scripture and back it if you talk to the right guy on both sides.
Yeah.
And I'm going to jump on the side that's working for me. So as far as I'm concerned, I just stayed believing what I believed, and that was not part of it. That wasn't just an issue that was taken out. I just take that out of the equation.
How many, well, you've already said this, you know, your family, but how many people hearing your story are going to give you the benefit of the doubt because you're married to a guy now. So that it's all
no,
okay.
No, I know.
Now.
I'm not a poster child for lesbians, for sure. Yeah. I'm absolutely not.
So, at least she's married to a guy now. It's all good. That,
right?
It's all
yeah,
good.
Right.
I think some people would say, oh, she's cured. I think right. some. No, no, well, some no you're people absolutely would have that
right.
mentality.
And it, you know.
Yours, maybe your sister's prayers worked.
Right? You're right?
No, I'm kidding. Okay.
No,
come on.
I hear you. I hear you. I do hear you. I don't agree with that. I think I still am who I am. It happened to be Dave that ended up being my last relationship, and I married him. It doesn't mean that there couldn't have been a woman mm-hmm. that did the same thing for me that he's doing for me. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
You know what I love about, and this is why I really, really wanted you on the show. Tell me what I want, what I really, really want. I wanted you on the show because I can't tie this one up in a bow.
No, but neither can I, man. I don't even have answers for you. I was like, what am I going to say? Because I don't really.
That's why a lot of people do that. When I ask them to come on the show, a lot of people go, oh, I don't have the answer. Because we grew up in a tribe that gathered around answers. As opposed to the Jewish tribe who gathers around questions. That's the difference between an evangelical pastor and a rabbi. An evangelical pastor is paid to have the answers, and a rabbi is paid to ask the same questions. And that's,
mm-hmm.
I think I should become a Jew. Howard would be so happy.
He's Jewish.
He's Jewish. Yeah. I knew he was going there. Jen.
Yes, Drew.
How do you feel about the fact that you've just come out with your story? In
spectacular version.
Oh, I feel.
Are you going to get heat from anybody?
I don't know. I hope not.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, who am I going to get heat from?
To quote you, I don't know.
Remix.
I'm so thankful that you. Because you were hesitant, and I'm so indeed. Thankful you came on the show to share your journey, because it's the stuff of the in-betweens. We think God is the God of the highs or the God of the lows. I was low, I found God. I was high, and I thank God. But what about the in-betweens? What about the stuckness? People forget that the prerequisite for being unstuck is you got to be stuck first.
Indeed.
I'm so fascinated by you as a person, but your journey is just something that gives me a headache.
Oh, I've had a few headaches myself.
Have you? Yeah.
Women can be rotten. And they will take your money.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my
there's,
gosh.
So it's just not heterosexual
oh,
relationships.
Dear. I've been taken for so much money. Right. It's not even funny, guys. It's just horrible. But
so the song Gold Digger was about. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right.
Man. Thank you. Well, hold on. Let's just finish with this.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I would have been able to maintain my looking upwards, maintain my I can't let go of faith entirely. If I had your journey, I'm not sure I could have hung on to my faith. I haven't had your journey, and I'm not sure I am even hanging on to my faith. So, you know, again, we joke around a lot, but Jen, that's a beautiful thing for you to still have that in your hands. A beautiful thing.
Well, thanks, I think.
Mm. That was a legit compliment. Felt awkward for both of us.
Because it's coming from you. It's an awkward thing.
No, we don't talk
nicely
to
each other.
No, sorry.
It's a beautiful thing, but you're still an idiot.
I'm like punching in the face now. Just to make up for it. I don't know what to do.
Oh, man. Thanks for coming, Jane.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Yeah. We'll be right back. Stay with us. How are you, Tori?
I'm good. How are you?
Listen to that voice. You're kind of sweet, aren't you?
Only sometimes.
I've heard. Tori, can you tell the world about something?
Of course I can.
Please.
So maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign. Well, what if we gave you an entire show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative and affordable advertising concept for small business owners.
Huh.
With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, mm-hmm. Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us for an entire show.
Say it's not so.
Become a one-day advertising partner and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show.
That's four times.
And we'll give you a live five-minute phone interview. Oh, and one more thing.
Yes?
We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month.
No!
So, if you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with the Drew Marshall Show.
That's a good idea.
Contact us through our website, drewmarshall.ca, and ask about becoming a one-day advertising partner.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tori the intern on the Drew Marshall Show. Very well done. She gave us a little head snap and a thank you. Well, she just got back from somewhere.